From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Plenty of news in politics. Today, President Bush used only his fourth veto, this time to block the passage of a children's health care plan. But the debate is more complicated than it looks on the surface. Plus, third quarter campaign fundraising numbers are out, and it looks like White House hopeful Hillary Clinton came out on top. For this and more, we've got Ron Christie, vice president of the lobbying firm DC Navigators. He's also a former special assistant to President George W. Bush. Also with us, Donna Brazile, a nationally syndicated columnist. She teaches at Georgetown University. Welcome, folks.
Nice to be with you.
So today the president vetoed a reauthorization of the State Children's Health Insurance Plan, or SCHIP. Now, it offers low-cost health care to children and families. The Democrats knew that a veto was a risk. They were trying to expand the program to 4 million more children and waited until the last minute to vote on reauthorization. So, Ron, is the president going to come off as the heavy, as anti-child, or is he right to say this is too expensive, it targets middle-class kids?
Well, I think both, frankly. I think that the issue has been demagogued in the Congress, and it's been demagogued on the airwaves, that those who are trying to portray the president as being insensitive to children's issues, I think they're going to score their political points. The reality of the situation, though, Farai, is that the SCHIP program was designed for children who did not qualify for Medicaid, and yet their families could not afford private health care insurance. The reality of the situation is the president very strongly supports reauthorization of the SCHIP program, and in fact has called for an increase of 20% of the amount of money going to the SCHIP program over the next 5 years. But the reality of the situation is the Democrats tried to expand the eligibility. People in a family of four earning as much as $83,000 a year would qualify under the Democrat-passed bill, which is just simply unacceptable. And the president's final objection to the bill is that it would displace nearly one out of three children who currently had private insurance would be displaced and put on a government run rather than a private health insurance program. Too expensive, too costly, and the president wisely vetoed the measure.
Now, Donna, the Senate has enough votes to override the veto, but that might not be true in the House. So what do you see ahead?
Well, I'd see the Democrats working along with the Republicans to override the president veto, both in the Senate and the House. Look, the truth of the matter is that the Democrats responded to a need from 43 governors, Republican and Democratic governors. This bill had broad bipartisan support, did not expand the eligibility of SCHIP, and it also is fully paid for. So the president has decided to take a stand with the tobacco companies and not stand up for children. And we're spending $700 billion in Iraq, and the SCHIP program would cost just a fraction of that. We constantly talk about leave no child behind, but there are millions of children in this country and their families that fall in between a gap. And this bill is designed to give those children health insurance, designed to help those families that are now facing some critical decisions about the health care of their children. And for this president to turn his back on children at a critical moment in our future, our country, it's an investment in their future. Democrats and Republicans both will work together to override his veto.
And my affection for Donna notwithstanding, I mean, again, that's just absolutely how this has been demagogued into a political mess. The reality of it is, sure, 43 governors might have said that they supported it, and there are a number of people in the House and in the Senate, regardless of their party, but this is fiscal irresponsibility to move children who already have private health care insurance off of the private rolls and to put them on the government, A, is wrong. The true costs of the bill have not yet fully been determined. And again, this should not be a one-size-fit-all, let's move everybody onto the government insurance. The president wisely vetoed this. This is a dramatic expansion. The president merely wants to do the original intent of the bill and of the program, which is to provide those children who need a safety net, not an expansion of a middle-class entitlement that Democrats are trying to do to score political points.
Well, under the Democratic rule of pay-as-you-go, we're not about to add more to the deficit that the Republicans have created during 12 years of controlling the government. This bill is fully paid for, and those governors came together working with the Democratic-controlled Congress and Republicans like Chuck Grassley, who is by no stretch of the imagination a liberal spender.
All right,
this is a very responsible approach to helping to ensure 10 million children and their families.
All right, we're going to have to move along. We want to take a look at the numbers. We're talking fundraising numbers. Senator Clinton got $27 million this summer. Illinois Senator Barack Obama about $20 million, but overall they're neck and neck in terms of cash raised over time. Now, how did Senator Clinton raise all that money? What's changed since last season for her and Barack Obama, do you think, Donna?
Well, first of all, she's now targeting low donors. I mean, her Her ability in the beginning to go out there and get those wealthy donors to max out $2,300 and for the primary as well as the general campaign, she took a page from Barack Obama's book on the new politics, and she went out there and her campaign started reaching out to the $25 donors, to the $50 donors, and as a result, she has over 100,000 new donors this quarter alone. Look, Barack Obama has raised $75 million. Hillary has raised a grand total of $72 million. They both have enough money to compete, not just in the primary, but also in the general election. This race is about to get very interesting. And while the national polls suggest that Hillary has it locked up, I still believe the race on the Democratic side, like the Republican side, is very muddled and it's fluid and it could change any day now.
Ron, we're going to get to the Republican side in a second, but Senator Clinton got even more good news from the polls. This Washington Post ABC News poll shows her with 33 points in a lead over Senator Obama. And for the first time, that means that she's got the support of the majority of Democrats. Does this mean anything in the long run? What I mean by that is races can shift over time in unexpected ways. Do you think she's in the driver's seat for the long run or too early to tell?
I think it's too early to tell, but again, it's a very positive development for Senator Clinton. I agree with Donna. I think it's still very fluid on the Democrat side of the ledger. But Senator Clinton certainly is doing very well in national polls. She's expanding her fundraising operation, and Donna's point was exactly right on. Senator Obama, in the initial quarters, he had an unparalleled ability to get low-dollar donations, $10, $15, $30. Senator Clinton has expanded her reach, and she's expanded the list of those who are donating to her campaign. But I also think with the just enormous amount of money that these two candidates have raised between the two of them, that's Senator Clinton and Obama, things are going to get pretty interesting as we head to the Iowa caucus and the New Hampshire primary and some of the early states, South Carolina and Michigan. The air wars are about to start, and I think everyone's going to have to hold on to their hats because it's going to be pretty interesting to watch.
Ron, staying with you, GOP candidate Fred Thompson has been having a lot of luck with individual donors. So how important, we've talked a little bit, Donna did, about the number of people who donate to a campaign versus the amount of money. How do those work together or differently?
Well, I think it's important for a candidate who seeks the presidential nomination to have as diverse of a base of support as possible. Senator Clinton, staying on that side of the ledger for a moment, she had maxed out. She had gone to all the wealthy contributors, and she did not really have that expansive of a fundraising base initially. Now, again, as we said a moment ago, she's expanded on that. For the Republicans, what they want to do is try to get as many wealthy donors, as many middle-of-the-road voters, and even lower-income voters, so that they can say that they have a broad base of support. But particularly those voters who don't give as much initially, these Republican candidates can go back and seek additional campaign contributions. But the Republicans right now are trying to find a clear front runner. They have not identified one yet. Former Mayor Rudy Giuliani certainly seems to lead in a lot of the national polls, but on the Republican side of the ledger, I think that the support is very soft, and as we head into January, I think that's when it's going to tighten up a little bit, and we'll see who the true front runner is.
Donna, I want to switch to yet another topic. Democrats in the Senate this week helped pass a defense spending bill. It would okay $150 billion to fund the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, but the unusual thing about this bill is that it includes hate crimes legislation that would protect gays and lesbians from discrimination. So how did this happen, this kind of, you know, three-legged race of these two issues?
Well, as you all know, it takes 60 votes to get anything passed in the Senate. And Ted Kennedy saw an opportunity to attach this bill to a must-pass a spending bill, and he attached it. Look, it's long overdue in our country that we have federal protection for gays and lesbians in this country in terms of the federal hate crime statutes. The House passed a bill, had overwhelming support. Now the Senate is on record. A number of Republicans have embraced this bill. There's talk now that the president might pull out his veto pen once again to strip the bill of this measure or to veto the bill. But I fully support what Ted Kennedy did, and I applaud the Senate for moving forward on hate crimes legislation.
Ron, what about these essential issues on the hate crime side? There isn't federal protection. There are people in certain states who are fired for being gay. There are state laws and local laws, but not this federal law. Is it time for that to change?
Well, I absolutely abhor any form of discrimination based on race or sexual orientation. I think it's wrong and where we are on this point in American history. I think what you've heard from the president threatening a veto of the bill, we're talking about a defense bill. We're talking about a war. We're talking about putting funding forward for our troops. I support the notion of having a full discussion in the judiciary committees in the House and the Senate and bringing legislation to the floor so it can be fully debated. But attaching it as a rider to a must-pass defense bill where we're looking at our troops, I think, is the wrong vehicle to do so. But it's a discussion that we must have in the government.
But, you know, it's not the first time we've attached things to the defense bill. The defense bill is unlike most appropriation bills. It becomes like a decorated Christmas tree with just about every item that you can't get passed on the floor under normal circumstances. So while it may be unfortunate to attach it, at least Senator Kennedy took the leadership in putting it on the bill and getting Congress to take a look at it. They debated it, and now the president must decide what he will do. But I'd support what Ted Kennedy and the Senate Democrats did.
Just a quick pop from you, Donna. There's a difference between authorization and spending. Do you expect, with the way the war is going, that this money will be spent?
Well, no question. I mean, look, the president is going to even call for more money, given the fact that the money for Iraq and Afghanistan is going to be placed in a supplemental that will be brought to Congress' attention next spring. Look, we have now a continuing resolution to keep the government functioning through November 17th. And then at that time, hopefully all of these appropriation bills, including the District of Columbia, since I reside here, I don't know if Ron is a district resident, I hope all our bills get through on time before the holidays begin.
All right, Donna and Ron, thank you.
Thanks, Farai.
Donna Brazile is a nationally syndicated columnist. She teaches at Georgetown University. And Ron Christie is vice president of the lobbying firm DC Navigators and a former special assistant to President George W. Bush. Both join me from NPR headquarters in Washington, D.C.